tomorrow or Tuesday after I preach to go visit Brother Asbury. I don't know if it's going to work out, but it's about 5 hours from there. But do pray regarding that. I'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Again, this is a portion of Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, a church that was plagued with many problems, a church that had many struggles, a church that was filled with division, contention, much error. And Paul addresses those things throughout the letter. The underlying cause of the problems was not the fact that false teachers were in their midst. That was a problem, but it wasn't the underlying cause. The underlying cause was that they were carnal. Again, we saw that this morning. And Paul really addresses that from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 through verse 3. Of the third chapter, that they were carnal. The contents of the letter make it plain that Paul's purpose was twofold. One was to correct the disorders that existed in the church, and the other was to answer some questions that they had submitted to him. The subject matter of the questions that he answers are indicated by the words "now concerning," and then whatever the question is follows, "now concerning" or "now has touching." And we see that in chapter 7, verse 1, verse 25, chapter 8, verse 1, chapter 12, verse 1, chapter 15, verse 1, chapter 16. Verse 1, he's answering these questions. His method is that he alternates between the faults of the church. He never really gets away from that, and his replies to their questions. So he alternates between the two, but he never really gets away from the real need, which was spiritual. And he offers spiritual advice and a spiritual alternative. But again, they were carnal. And that was the problem. That was the root cause of everything. In chapters 1 through 4, he addresses the problem of their factions. Then in chapters 5 and 6, he addresses two problems. One was immorality that was in the church, and the other was that their litigations against one another in pagan courts, and he addresses those two situations. Chapter 7 through 10, again, he's answering some of their questions. In chapter 11, he again reverts to some serious thoughts or some serious problems in the church. And then in chapters 12 through 14, he's answering some questions regarding spiritual gifts, recognizing that this church had a rich endowment of spiritual gifts. It was a very gifted church, and you gather that from reading chapters 12 through 14. He shows in those chapters regarding spiritual gifts that they must be governed by love and they're for the purpose of edification. Chapter 15, he addresses a doctrinal issue regarding the resurrection. And in chapter 16, he addresses the question concerning giving, tithes and offerings. So our text is a part of his response concerning spiritual gifts. And again, the Corinthian church was a very gifted church, and there's a valuable lesson there. Do not mistake spiritual gifts for spirituality. They're not one and the same. And the church of Corinth certainly is proof of that. So to be spiritually gifted but carnal is a recipe for disaster. And you see it in the church of Corinth. He speaks of the gifts in chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. And then he moves from there to instruct them concerning the fact that they were a body of Christ, and he uses the analogy of a human body, his point being that they were to concern themselves as individual members of the body with the health of the body, and that the gifts that they possessed was for the edification, for the strengthening of the body. And he's telling them that their behavior would either have an adverse effect or a positive effect upon the body. And that's what he's stressing in chapter 12. And then in chapter 12, verse 31, he says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." And then he goes into chapter 13, where he speaks entirely upon the subject of love, and he speaks upon the supremacy of love. He's talking about the best gifts. He talks about faith and hope and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. And that's what he has in mind when he says, covet the best gift. So the context of the verse that we read, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12, concerns the desire for spiritual gifts, but more generally and importantly, the desire for the spiritual, for spiritual things. Again, the letters to 1 and 2 Corinthians reveal the sad state and condition that the very churches of Lord Jesus Christ can slip into. And our text contains an exhortation applicable to the members of the Lord's churches, that if each member would take heed to what is written in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 12, it would prevent a church from slipping into the condition of the Corinthian church. And if a church has already slipped into that condition, it would get them out, just obeying 1 Corinthians 14, 12. But again, before you can obey 1 Corinthians 14, 12, you have to cease to be carnal, because that, again, is the underlying problem. So the overall teaching of the text is that we are to excel spiritually. And we are to do so to the edifying of the church of which we are a member. So what is spoken of here in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 12 is really an ambition for spiritual things. An ambition for the spiritual. And that's what we want to speak upon this evening. Personal, spiritual ambition. Personal, spiritual ambition. We need to have an ambition, a desire for the spiritual. And that ambition must override all other, as we saw this morning. First of all, there is such a thing as excelling spiritually. Notice, again, if we go back to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 12, notice it says about halfway down, seek that. That. The word that, of course, is used to identify something specific. When you use the word that, what follows is not a generality. It's something specific. In this case, it's spiritual. But notice he says that ye. So we're talking about something specific. We're also talking something personal and collective. Ye, he's speaking to the church of Corinth. Collectively. But they can't be anything collectively unless they are individually. So this is personal. That ye, and then notice the next word, may. May. That expresses a possibility. That expresses an opportunity. A possibility and an opportunity of something specific. That ye may excel. To excel is to surpass where we are. To excel is to do better than what we're doing. To excel is to exceed. And then it's that word excel relates to the word spiritual. Again, we're to be zealous of spiritual. Seek that you may excel. So, the excelling relates to the spiritual realm. Relates to the spiritual realm. And we see that it is possible. And we have an opportunity to surpass where we are spiritually. We've preached on this many times. It is possible. And we have the opportunity to be more spiritual right now. To be more spiritually right now. That is possible right now. We have that opportunity right now. It is possible and we have the opportunity to be more spiritually, to do better spiritually. One of the problems, and it's a big problem, and it goes back to carnality. One of the problems is that many try to do without being. You've got to be the right person in order to do. But people concentrate on doing without being. And it's futile. And not only that, it results in frustration. And it results in discouragement. All through the Word of God, the pattern is simple. Be such and such, and then you can do. But the practice today is to reverse that. You try to do without being. It doesn't work. Never has worked. Never will work. Goes against the pattern laid out all through Scripture. Be and do. You can't be carnal and do spiritual. Doesn't work. If you're going to do spiritual, you have to be spiritual. Be and do. And again, all through the Word of God, that's the pattern. That's why Christianity today is so shallow. Because for decades and decades and decades, The emphasis has been on doing without being. And it does not work. It never has. Again, it never will. You have to be spiritual to do spiritual. That we can excel spiritually means that the most holy amongst us can be more holy. The strongest amongst us can be stronger. The most spiritually learned can be more learned. The one who has the most faith can have more faith. The one who is most loving can be more loving. The one who is closest to the Lord can be closer. The one who is most submitted and yielded can be more yielded. The most victorious can be more victorious. Again, read those two words. Ye may. Ye may. Ye may excel. That's the possibility. That's the opportunity that is before us. Whatever our relationship with the Lord is, you may have a very poor relationship with the Lord. You may have a very good relationship with the Lord. But whatever it is, it can be more. Ye may excel. It can be surpassed. It can be better. So it is possible, and we have opportunity to have a closer relationship with the Lord, a warmer friendship with the Lord, a deeper and stronger and more meaningful and relevant relationship to the Lord. Ye may. Ye may excel. That's true regardless of what our prayer life is like. We can do more. Concerning our church life, there is more. No matter where we are, spiritually, we can excel. Meaning that there is always a higher plane. We have not reached the pinnacle. We never have. And we will not in this life. There is always more. Always more spiritually. There's always more greater enjoyment of the Lord. And such is possible right now. There's more knowledge. There's more faith. There's more grace. There's more power. There's more spiritual treasures. There's more for us to gain. There's more for us to obtain spiritually. It's possible. We have opportunity to excel or to advance, to make progress, and to be better spiritually. So therefore, ye may, wherever we are, we can go beyond that. So therefore, we must never be content where we are in our spiritual life. There's always more. And we're always to be striving for more. There are times when we can say with David in Psalm 23 and 5, my cup runneth over. Those are glorious times. But even in those times, you must realize there's more. Yes, my cup runneth over, but there's more. This isn't as good as it gets. We may even have times, as Paul did in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 2, where he said he was caught up to the third heaven. Caught up to the third heaven. But even if we experience that, there's more. There's more. Don't ever be content to stop anywhere spiritually. I mean, where do you stop? Where do you stop in praying? Where do you stop in being faithful? Where do you draw the line? There is no line. There's always more. Don't ever think you've gone far enough. Well, I've prayed and prayed and prayed. I think I've done enough. That's a wrong attitude. Don't ever think that you've gone as far as you can go. Paul said in Philippians 3:13, verses we've preached on many times, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He's talking about knowledge of Christ. There's always more before us spiritually. Those three words, ye may excel, ought to thrill us. That ought to cause us to rejoice. So there is a possibility, there is an opportunity before us to excel spiritually. So what should be our attitude toward that possibility, toward that opportunity? Well, in our text, 1 Corinthians 14:12, it's seen in the words, zealous and seek. Zealous and seek. The fact that there is more for us to possess spiritually. The fact that we can be more spiritually. The fact that we can do more spiritually. That ought to have a powerful effect upon us. Paul, writing to the churches of Galatia, who had been greatly affected by false teachers, wrote in Galatians 4 and verse 18, he said, it is a good thing to be zealously affected. It is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. We ought to be zealously affected by those three words, ye may excel. There's more for us spiritually. That ought to affect us. That ought to affect us in a very zealous way. It's something that ought to move us. It ought to move us again in a very zealous way. Again, in reference to the spiritual, ye may excel spiritually. That ought to zealously move us in the direction of the spiritual. Notice verse 12 again. Three words. Zealous of spiritual. That ought to describe us. Zealous of spiritual. The word zealous conveys the idea of fervency. Fervency for the spiritual. It conveys the idea of enthusiasm. Enthusiastic for the spiritual. And people can get enthusiastic about a lot of things, so enthusiastic that they'll get up 2 or 3 in the morning. And then they can hardly drag themselves out of bed to get to church on time. That's pitiful. Zealously. Zealous of spiritual. It's an eagerness for spiritual things. It's an energy for spiritual things. It's an intensity for spiritual things. Zealous of spiritual, that ye may excel. So we ought to be fervent. We ought to be devoted. We ought to be dedicated to excelling spiritually. It ought to consume us. We ought to be enthusiastic. We ought to be eager to excel spiritually. We ought to be intense to excel spiritually. How zealous are we toward the spiritual? How zealous are we toward the spiritual? What is our level of passion for spiritual things? What is our level of energy toward spiritual things? In light of what Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Is there a lot of filling going on? Those who hunger and thirst shall be filled. So how zealous are we for spiritual things? How hungry are we for spiritual things? How much hunger is there? How much thirst is there? Again, 1 Corinthians 12:31, covet earnestly. He's talking about gifts, but we're speaking spiritual things. Covet earnestly the spiritual. Do we covet spiritual things? Do we desire? Do we long for the spiritual? But notice, we must not only be zealous, but we're to seek. It says, seek that you may excel. So what does it mean to seek? To go in search of. Go in search of spiritual things. Go in search for spiritual excellence. Look for spiritual excellence. Try to obtain spiritual excellence. Work toward spiritual excellence. Make that your aim. Spiritual excellence. That should be what we shoot for. There's a greater experience of the things of God. Seek that you may excel. This is expressive of our desire, of our hunger, our thirst, our longing to spiritually excel. Seek that ye may excel. Well, in order to do that, again, we must cease being carnal. A carnal person is not going to seek spiritual. But also, in order to do that, we have to get out of the mindset of contentment when it comes to spiritual things. You have to get out of the mindset of mediocrity when it comes to spiritual things. We must not settle. Wherever we are spiritually, we must not settle. Don't ever settle for what is normal, what is ordinary, what is typical and usual all around you. If we're not careful, we become our surroundings. That's true of our relationship with the world. But it's also true if we are surrounded by spiritual mediocrity. If you're not careful, you settle for that because it's the norm. It's the routine. But this verse is telling us, don't settle for that. If everybody around you is carnal, it doesn't mean you have to be. If everybody around, nobody seems to get it, and there are very few today that get it, that doesn't mean that we can't grasp it, grasp the importance of spiritual things. So this ought to fill us with a commitment to excel spiritually? Do we want to excel spiritually? Do we want to go beyond where we are right now spiritually? Do we want it enough where we're willing to commit ourselves to excelling spiritually? In order to excel spiritually, you must overcome all distractions. Isn't it amazing how many distractions there are concerning spiritual things? And you must overcome that. Seek that ye may excel. That is, extend yourself. Reach and press forward for spiritual things. Launch out to excel spiritually. Don't let anybody or anything get in the way of excelling spiritually. You see, a lot of behaviors need to be reversed. There's a lot of people today, they want such and such in the world, so they stop coming to church to achieve that goal. But we need to turn that around. Our goal needs to be spiritual things. Our aim needs to be spiritual things. We need to start quitting some things in the world in order to achieve that aim. Husbands and wives together ought to zealously seek to excel spiritually and ought to minister to one another spiritually and ought to do nothing that would hinder your spouse from excelling spiritually. We're to have an atmosphere conducive in our homes to excelling spiritually. Do absolutely nothing that would in any way stand in the way of your spouse being more spiritual. Strive together. Parents ought to provide an atmosphere that promotes spiritual excellence in their children and do nothing that would hinder that. Oh, there are many today many parents who promote athletic excellence. They promote academic excellence. But what about spiritual excellence? And they promote athletic and academic excellence over spiritual excellence. There's something wrong with that. And I'm not downplaying academic excellence. Don't misunderstand. But there is an order. We can possess more and be more spiritually. We must realize that in our homes, and create an atmosphere that promotes spiritual excellence. And then notice the impact. If we seek spiritual and we're zealous of spiritual to the edifying of the church, to the edifying of the church. We love the Lord's church. We love the church of which we are a member, where God has placed us. We do not want to do anything that would harm that church. How do we edify the church? By excelling spiritually. So, if we just had more gifted people, the Church of Corinth had plenty of gifted people. That's not the answer. That's not the answer. More gifts is not the answer. More talent is not the answer. More spirituality is the answer. Again, the Church of Corinth abounded with gifts. But they were carnal. So we're to seek the spiritual. Seek to spiritually excel for the edifying of the church, for the building up of the church, for the fashioning of the church. Our spiritual condition is what fashions the church. It's what shapes the church. Our desire for spiritual things is what makes a church healthy or unhealthy. So, oh, how we need to realize that it is our spiritual condition and our attitude toward spiritual things that goes toward building or demolishing the church of which we are a member. Our spiritual condition either promotes the church or it doesn't. There's nothing in between. Our spiritual condition, good or bad, goes toward fashioning and shaping the church of which we are a member. Holding an office, holding a position in the church, does not mean that you are contributing to the good of the church. Even faithful church attendance does not mean that you are contributing to the good of the church. It's our spiritual condition that determines that. May I say, a person can be very faithful in their attendance and do a lot of harm to the church, because every time they're there, they quench the spirit. So just church attendance is not what edifies the church. It's our spiritual condition. Once again, it's being. It's being, not just doing. Being. Being spiritual. It's our spiritual condition that either contributes to the spiritual increase or demise of the church, to the edifying of the church. Our spiritual condition is to go toward the spiritual support of the church. Our spiritual condition is to be a help to the church, to be an assistance to the church of which we are a member. So our spiritual condition is to go toward the spiritual nourishment, the spiritual continuance of the church. It all comes down to our individual spiritual condition. That's what it all comes down to. How much do we desire the spiritual? We ought to seek that you may excel spiritually. Again, our spiritual condition determines whether or not we have a positive and favorable impression upon the church. Our spiritual condition. Our spiritual condition determines whether you contribute to the strengthening or the weakening of the church. If we go backward, at that moment, we are contributing to the weakening of that body. If we're going forward, we're contributing to the strength of that body. So, oh, how zealous we ought to be to seek to continually excel spiritually. How we ought to strive to excel spiritually. How we ought to encourage one another. to excel spiritually. That each one of us, from this day forward, would dedicate and commit ourselves to spiritual excellency in our attitudes, our behavior, for the honor and glory of God, and for the edifying of this body. With that in mind, we'll close by reading 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Keep in mind the thought of striving to excel spiritually. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing. There is to be a unity in striving for the spiritual. And that there be no divisions among you. You see, it's a struggle if you've got 20 people that desire to excel spiritually, but then you have another group, whether it be larger or smaller, really doesn't matter. You have another group that is more interested in the carnal than the spiritual. You've got quite a conflict. You've got an unhealthy church when that happens. But that you may be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That you may be perfectly joined together in the same mind. That needs to be us in seeking to excel spiritually. That each one of us be of the same mind. I want to excel spiritually. And that we strive together to be more spiritual. You can't be more spiritual for someone else. And you can't make someone to be more spiritual. Spirituality is not legislated. We have to work on ourselves. I want to excel spiritually. Can you say that tonight without lying? I want to excel spiritually. The time is short, but I want to excel spiritually. For the edifying of the church. And if everybody in the church has that attitude, the church will excel spiritually. But that's what it takes. All to be spiritual. We must be spiritual. We need to ask God. We need to plead with God. Lord, make me more spiritual. Make me less and less interested in this world. Amen. And make me more spiritual. God help us to have that desire to excel spiritually, and there are those that are here tonight that have that desire. There's no doubt about that. Also, there's no doubt there are others who really don't have that desire. God help us, wherever we are, to go beyond where we are, spiritually speaking. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song.